Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is with us, of course. You know, and His power is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And God wants to meet everyone individually today. Amen. We're corporate, but also on an individual basis. He wants to speak to you, and He wants to hear from you. Amen. And you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I'm good at speaking to God. But sometimes I'm a little slow in listening. You know, the Bible says, be what? Quick to listen and slow to speak. And that's really the way it should be towards our Lord too, you know. We need to be listening because He wants to give us His counsel. How many would agree with me that the times when we listen to the Lord, we've never been disappointed? But how many would also agree with me the times I didn't listen to God was a disappointing time? Yeah, it was a disaster even. Well, thank you, Jesus, for mercy. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, that you were the perfect one. And because of your perfection, because you were the sinless Lamb of God, you alone qualified to be our sacrifice. And the Bible says that God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. That's the good news, is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you have to open up your heart and you have to let Him in. It's called trust. You need to trust the Lord. Amen. And God wants to meet you. And God wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to destroy every device of the enemy, of the devil. He wants to destroy every work of Satan in your life. And Jesus Christ is Lord and has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. How much does He possess? All. All authority. Hallelujah. So then He said, because I have all authority, I am now delegating to you, my people, authority in my name to represent me here in the earth. Amen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Amen. But one of the signs is that they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is there anybody here today that needs a healing in your body? Okay, stand up if you need healing this morning. Do we believe that Jesus can heal? Do we believe that He'll heal right now? All right. So let's put our faith in what God promised and believe that right now God is going to touch those who are standing and that He's going to meet that need in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I discovered that as I open my mouth and I give God praise, that He fills me. Amen. So practice that. Amen. Just giving God praise, giving God glory. He inhabits, the Bible says, right? He's enthroned on the praises of His people, Israel. Amen. So when we praise the Lord, hallelujah. And that, how many know that praise is audible? Amen. So we all need to practice this. Amen. And a sacrifice of praise is praising God when you may not be feeling like it in your soul. Amen. But remember, David said to himself, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. How many, right? So how many of you have ever talked to yourself before? Yeah. On a daily basis? Yeah. I don't suggest you do it audibly in the mall or anything like that, but there are times that we talk to ourselves and we say, bless the Lord. Amen. He said, will bless the Lord and give Him glory. So I tell myself to give God glory. Why? Because He deserves it. Hallelujah. See, faith isn't a feeling. Well, I'll do it if I feel like it. That's the problem. Because the enemy will make sure you don't feel like it. So you just do what you know is right because the Lord deserves glory. And I find that thanksgiving is the opening door for all good things. Amen. Being grateful, like you said this morning, sister, you know, Betty, when you being thankful, to the Lord is so important, isn't it? Because it opens us up to an authentic praise, and praise brings His presence, right? And in His presence there's fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you go from thanksgiving to strength. And isn't that right? When you start to reflect on the goodness of God. Guys, we need to quit looking at what's broken and wrong all the time, amen? And start looking at God, the goodness of God in our lives. And thank God for the goodness of God in our lives. Hallelujah. I've discovered that if I'm in the will of God, He gives me strength. Yeah? What does Isaiah 40 say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we wait on the Lord. I find that going the extra mile with the Lord, amen, it's worth it. Hallelujah. How many know that you will reap what you sow? Yeah. So keep on sowing in the Spirit, sowing in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in due season, in God's appointed time, what you have invested will return. That's God's faithful promise to us. Hallelujah. Remember the song, Higher Ground? How many remember the old hymn? Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The first verse says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know what? I have never been so high in my life as the high that Jesus gives me, His presence. If you want to get high, go to the Most High. Amen? No regret. Hallelujah. We don't need the cheap artificial stuff of the world when you know the joy of the Lord, the pure ecstasy of His presence. And isn't it awesome that God has opened the way for us and invited us to come into His presence? And His presence is what? Fullness of joy. So you know you're getting close to God when your heart is full of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on pressing in. Amen. You know, if we're not careful, we can settle for less than God's best for us. You know? We can live below what God expects for us. But it wouldn't be God's fault. It would be our fault because we refuse to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to come to Him anytime. Amen. And receive everything we need. So there's no excuse for a believer, you know, to be fruitless. Would you agree? Because everything we have available to us in the Lord is free. And it's simply accessed by faith in God's promise that He is a good Father. And a good Father gives good gifts to His Son. Amen. How much more, He said, will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? But we receive that by faith. That we believe that God actually means what He says. When you come and you prayed, Lord, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. You come with an expectation that God wants to do that for you. Does He not want to fill you with His Holy Spirit? Sure He does. So there's every provision available to us for life, godliness. It's all available to us in Christ. Guys, if this wasn't true, I wouldn't be here today, I promise you. I was trying to find all this in the world. I was trying to find love and joy and peace and all these things, you know. But nothing satisfying there I found. Amen? And God wants you to be up to here with it. Amen? So you realize that there's just no satisfaction in the world. Nothing will last in this world. Amen. And the world always leaves you emptier than it promised to give you. There's peace. There's joy. There's forgiveness. There's victory. There's deliverance in the great salvation Jesus has promised us. He wants us to have life. And life what? More abundantly. Life to the full. God wants His people to press on and to grow up in Him. That requires an action on my part. I have to be willing to cooperate with God in this process called sanctification. Sanctification is being set apart. That's what it means. God wants you and I to be set apart from Him. He wants us to be living our lives for Him, living our lives unto Him. Yeah. He saved us with a purpose. That we would be like Him, that we become holy. Amen? That we become unspotted from the world. That we'll be prepared for eternity. That we become a vessel for Him. That we will become that ambassador representing Him in this world. That's why He saved us. That we may go and bear fruit. And that fruit would remain. In 2 Corinthians 3:11, Paul here is giving his final goodbye. Soon after he would be offered up, as it says, as a drink offering. He would be martyred. And he said in verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Become complete. The word complete means to repair, frame, or perfectly join together. So what it's really speaking of is mature. Grow up. Grow up in your faith. Become a mature child of God. Amen? And a mature adult in the natural is in a place where they're able to reproduce. Can you say amen? Now, they may not be mature in their mind, but their bodies can be mature. Amen? But in the Lord, we are to mature in our character. We are to become like Jesus. Amen? So we will also bear good fruit that will glorify the Father. And so the devil is looking for ways to stunt your growth. It's interesting that you brought that up this morning, brother, about the trees. The bonsai trees that live thousands of years, but they don't grow very tall and they're very gnarly because of a lack of nutrition. They live a long time, but they are kind of an ugly or unsightly tree. And you know, if we are abiding in the Lord, we're going to produce, amen, the beauty of the Lord, we're going to produce the grace, the fruitfulness of Him. Amen. It's what God requires of us is really the fruit of His Spirit through us. Not human beings trying to be nice, trying to be good. Okay, because really, without the Lord, there is none good. Jesus said there's none good except one. He was the only good one. He was the only perfect one. But He wants us to grow. He wants us to become complete. And so if we are not feeding ourselves the right things, if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not in fellowship, if we're not in prayer, come on somebody, then you're not going to grow. And as you've heard it said before, if you have to part the mustache to insert the bottle, you're too old. God wants us to grow up, amen? Amen? And become like Jesus. That's our goal, is to become like Him. Amen? To walk as He walked, to live as He lived in this world. And the Lord is the one that provides the grace for us to be like Him. Because you can't just try to be like Jesus. You must become like Him. And it's the grace of God that makes us like Him. But we have to come to Him to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen? So we need to be people of His presence. We need to be coming to Him. We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. We need to be knocking. We need to deliberately set ourselves apart to the Lord as a vessel for Him now. We once lived for ourselves, now we live for Jesus. And we have our fruit unto eternal life. God wants His church to be morally and spiritually pure. Amen? He wants us fully prepared as a bride is adorned for her bridegroom, all right, or her husband. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul said, I am jealous for you, to speaking to the church, with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, virginity speaks of purity. He wants the church to be pure. Amen? How many know that the Lord can purify you? And when your heart is pure, your life will become pure. Some people are trying to be pure, but their heart is impure. So they're putting all their effort into being holy or to being good or being pure. But it's the heart that must change. We need a pure heart in order to live a pure life. It's not by human effort that we live a good Christian life. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we live a good Christian life. It's not by my ability. It's by the Lord's ability and my cooperation with Him in this. I have to take self-control. I have to take control of myself, amen, by the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and tell this body that it's going to serve the Lord. I'm going to tell this voice that it's going to praise His name. I have to take control. I have to take charge of myself. You see, nobody's going to take charge of you. God's not going to just kick the door down and take charge of you. He gives you charge. He gives you responsibility over yourself. Amen. But He's given you an invitation that to come to Him so that all that you have need of will be richly given to you, that will empower you to live a life of victory in a fallen world. Jesus wants us to be beautiful. He wants us to be radiant. He's looking for a bride. Amen. He's looking for a pure people who have eyes for only Him, no other gods before Him. We have set ourselves apart for Him. We're looking forward to the day when the bridegroom will return. Amen. And those who are looking for Him are those who are living for Him. Can you say amen? Amen. So Jesus wants us to be radiant. In Ephesians 5:25, He gives us this example of a husband and wife in the natural and how it is supposed to be an example of the heavenly. Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and did what? Gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify, that means set apart, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word of God. That He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. By the way, the word glorious means splendid, noble, gorgeous, or honorable. So God does not want us to settle, all right, for an incomplete standard of holiness, because He provides and makes available to us all that we have need of to live in victory in a fallen world so that we reflect the image of Jesus in this world. But because apart from Him, we can do nothing. In the Amplified in Matthew 5:48, it says, "You therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matthew 5:48 in New King James, "Therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now I know before understanding what the Greek word means, we're thinking, well, who's perfect? There's only one that's perfect. What it really means is to be complete in growth. Come to full age. Come to full maturity. in the Lord. All right? You're to be like your Heavenly Father. To be godly means to be God-like, not in place of God, but like Him. Now, the same God who spoke to Moses is speaking to us today by His Spirit. In Leviticus 19:1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" So, He hasn't changed. He's the same God. Amen? What's the difference? Today, God is giving people an opportunity to be saved. God gave the law through Moses so that we would become aware that we are sinful and that we are separated, that we're lost. Amen. Because no one was able to live up to the perfect standard of the law. And if you try, you'll continually be defeated. Why? Because you do not have the ability to do so. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to point us to the one who is full of mercy and grace, so that we might receive His grace, and we might receive a changed nature, a changed character, a changed heart, amen, that now loves the things that God loves and hates the things that God hates. He takes the law that was engraved on stones and He writes it on the tablets of our hearts by the Spirit. And now we live in the Holy Spirit. We walk in the Holy Spirit. We bear fruit because of the Holy Spirit and our cooperation with Him. So we should desire to be like our Heavenly Father. You see, under the old covenant, man can only copy what he knew of God externally. But his heart was unchanged. Jesus came to change the heart. Man knew God by law, by regulation. They had the letter of the law under the old covenant, but inwardly they were unchanged. So externally they may live a morally upright life, but inwardly they were still dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. So Jesus brought us, amen, to grace. When we come to Jesus, amen, He forgives our sins. He places His Spirit within us. He gives us a new heart, a new desire. We receive of His Holy Spirit, and then we are to partner with His Holy Spirit to live out the purpose of God in this world. It's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We have victory today because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome sin and death. Amen. So in Him we also are overcomers. So we have to come to a place where we recognize that I'm no longer under the law, but I'm now under God's grace. And because I'm under grace, I have the ability, amen, to control myself, because it's not by my own willpower that I live for God. Amen. It's by me submitting my willpower to His power. It's putting my will under God's will, and when I'm under His will, I have the ability to live out a life that would honor Him in this world. In the New Testament, we're changed from glory to glory, it says. Moses had a fading glory. Remember when he met with God on Sinai? He had to put a veil over his face because of the brightness. But it was a fading brightness, and after a while it would fade away. But in the New Covenant, hallelujah, because of the abiding Holy Spirit, we have the ability to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We're supposed to be growing, amen, and becoming more and more like Jesus, amen. So God wants us to grow. The devil is going to look for ways to stunt your growth. He's going to look for ways to distract you, to detour you, to get you involved in all kinds of other things that will take you away from the Lord. Are you hearing me, somebody? And a lot of times he's using good things to take you away from the Lord, because he wants to choke out the life in you. He wants to stunt you. He doesn't want you to become what God wants for you. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all, with an unveiled face," we don't have to have a veil over our face, do we? "Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." All right? So here we see it. Moses' face had to be veiled, but we can now come to God with an unveiled face. Why? We can come to God today by way of the blood of Jesus Christ, by way of the blood of the new covenant. Our confidence is not in our goodness or in our righteousness, but in the blood of Jesus. Amen. That qualifies me for His presence. So now I can come boldly. I can come confidently to my Father because the blood covers me. If it wasn't for the blood, amen, no one would be able to be in His presence. And we are who we are today because of the grace of God. How many know there's only one superhero up in here, amen, and that's Jesus, amen? Amen? And all of us are in this journey somewhere along the journey, working together, walking together, amen, to help one another through. God's work in our lives is to be really a continual pattern of growth. Have you grown in the last year? Are you more mature today than you were a year ago? You know, I've witnessed this. I've witnessed some church folks that have been Christians a long time, but they've never changed. Have you known anybody like that? They've been a Christian a long time, but there's no change. I have to ask the question: are they really Christians? How can we not be in Him and abide in Him and not change? How many know that you can allow yourself to be so distracted and so detoured by the things of this world that you will leak out, basically, and you'll become dry and fruitless? You can become like a shrub in the desert, as the psalmist said. But there's no excuse for that. Why? Because God gives us opportunity to come to Him and to drink, to dine at His table, to be refreshed, to be strengthened in Him. But we have to take advantage of the opportunity we have to seek the Lord, to come to Him for help. You know, God's Word is like a mirror, isn't it? You know, we can see a reflection of ourselves as we look in a mirror. But James said that you can walk away from that mirror and forget what you look like. So you've got to stay in the mirror of the Word of God, amen, and be reminded, oh yeah. Because what we're really being reminded of, if you're born again Christian, is who I am in Christ. We need to give God the glory, give God the praise for the good things that He's accomplished in our lives. And understand it's because of His grace that we're saved. Lest we should boast or compare ourselves to other people or somehow think that we're super spiritual. How many know that pride will get you in trouble too? Because God has a way of humbling us if we get proud. Now, Paul prayed this in Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we prayed what? That we would walk worthy of the Lord. So how many know that God does not reveal His will to us just to satisfy our curiosity? There are people that do come and they do listen to the message or listen to the gospel out of curiosity. You know, they're sampling it. They're just kind of checking it out. But the Lord reveals His will to us so that we might know Him. Right? And know how to please Him in everything we do. You know, the Lord also doesn't reveal His will to us in order to cater to our ambition or our pride. You see, some people want to know more because they want to impress people with what they know. But God doesn't reveal Himself for that purpose. He reveals Himself to us so that we may know how to live in a way that honors Him, that pleases Him in this world. Paul prayed that we would be fruitful in good works. So we're not saved by works, but we are saved for good works. You guys know that. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to what? Maintain good works. Oh, so I've been saved for what? Good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Paul also prayed that we would increase in our knowledge of God, to know Him better. How do we do this? Well, we got to be a student of the Word of God. You got to study to show yourself approved. Amen? You got to be in the Word of God. Hallelujah. We need a deeper understanding of the Lord. We obey His teachings. As we obey the Lord and as we faithfully serve Him, we also grow in our knowledge of Him. How many know that you can grow in a relationship with somebody when you've had experiences together with that person? When you do life together with somebody, when you work together with somebody, you can get to know them on an experiential level. Amen? You may hear about somebody. You may read about somebody. But you don't really get to know that person until you've spent time with that person, until you know them personally. God wants us to get past just the sacred page to the one it's written about, that we may know Jesus. This is eternal life. You know, Paul was in Philippians 3:13, Paul is describing himself as like a runner in a race. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I have witnessed in my own life, and I've witnessed it in the lives of many others, that people are sometimes stunted in their growth because they continually dwell on their past. You need to hit the reset button, as we say. It's time to move on. You don't grieve forever, amen? There's a time of grieving, and there's a time where we look back and maybe we're ashamed of some things. I'm sure we are. We all are. That we've done in the past. But if they've been forgiven, God has forgiven you, it's time to hit the reset button and say, that was then, this is now. That's under the blood. I have a destiny in the Lord, and I have a certain time frame, a window of opportunity to live out God's purpose in this world. Amen. Because soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Everyone is going to see Jesus Christ. Amen. There is coming a day when we have our appointment with God. Today is the day to give your life over to Him and to live out, amen, God's purposes for Him now. Because when you see Jesus in that day, you're going to want to see Him smiling and saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh, we got to get over ourselves, don't we? We have to get over that flesh. We have to conquer that flesh that wants to go its own way, do its own thing, doesn't want to, submit to God. But if we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, we'll be strengthened in our faith. And we'll have the strength to overcome that flesh, that outer of man, that old nature. So it is imperative that we build ourselves in our faith, that we are strengthening ourselves in the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Because we've watched people who were once very strong and very on fire for God just kind of wane and fade away. It can happen. So God calls us and invites us to, first of all, set ourselves apart. Do you know that God wants every one of us in this room to set ourselves apart for Him? Every one of us. To live our lives for Him. Because He redeemed us with a divine purpose. And Jesus said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He wants you to share in His glory someday. He wants you to have an abundant welcome into the kingdom. That's His heart, His desire for His people. So we have to take charge. And we have to repent and make up our mind who we're going to serve. We've served our flesh. We've served ourselves all these years. Now it's time to say, you know what, from now on, I have decided. I made up my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to draw near to Him. I'm going to be empowered by Him so that I can overcome myself and live out God's purposes in this world, because soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon we'll all take our last breath. James said, your life is but a vapor. It's very quick. What are you going to live for? What do you want to live for? And what do you want to die for? We have a reason to live and we have a reason to die. We get to die for Jesus, amen. We get to live for Jesus. Either way, we're a winner if we're living for Jesus, amen. The goal is to reach the finish line. The prize is the crown of righteousness. The upward call of God includes all His purposes for us that God had in mind when He saved us. That includes salvation, conformity to Christ, accomplishing God's will for our lives. It ultimately means an abundant welcome into heaven. That's what God wants for His children. Amen. How many of you are proud parents at times? But when your kids do good, you're commending them and you're proud of them because they represent you. How many know that we've been called to represent our Father, our Heavenly Father? So we should live such good lives in this world that nobody can accuse us, amen, of being an evildoer. And we do that by way of the grace of God, by receiving of the grace of God, by being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that I can overcome my outer man, my flesh, and my flesh is subdued, amen. My flesh is brought under control, hallelujah. And the new man in Christ Jesus is overcoming that outer man, amen, that loves to sin. I love Jesus, amen, therefore I don't want to give myself over to sin anymore. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, you will obey me. So 2 Peter 1:10, we're almost finished. He said, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. What do you say?
Work hard.
Work hard. Somebody say, work hard.
To prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to work hard to prove that we really belong to the Lord. Amen. Now, how do we do that? Well, look at verse 5. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control with patient endurance with godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how many know that knowing the Lord and learning about the Lord is not just to gain more information? Is so that we become more like Jesus and that we bear good fruit. Amen. So guys, listen, we got to take the high road. Amen. Don't take the low road. Don't take the passive road. Don't take the path of least resistance. Yeah. Some people think being a Christian means just doing nothing, being neutral, being passive. Being a Christian means I follow Jesus, I walk in His footsteps, and I accomplish the will of God, the mission of God that is assigned to me. And I do that by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to drink. That's why we need to eat. That's why we need to be worshipers. Amen? That's why we need to be sowing in the Holy Spirit, sowing in prayer. Amen? So that what we have invested will return. Amen. In strength for our journey so that we can please the Lord and bear fruit unto eternal life. God wants you sanctified. He wants you set apart for Him. So you got to run this race, like Paul said, to win. You can't be passive. You can't be neutral. You can't just hang out and watch the clock tick. Amen. God has a plan for your life. Don't waste any more of your precious time, amen, living for this world. Jesus delivered you from the power of such, amen. Avoid pessimism as well. Why? Because God's plans for you are good, to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11.
So aim to be what God enabled you to be. That's an overcomer. Because the Lord's victory is our victory. We are overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't accept anything less than that. Amen. In Psalm 60 and verse 12, through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Hallelujah. We should be expecting, amen, the fulfillment of God's purposes in our lives. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently. Somebody say diligently.
Diligently.
Somebody say work hard.
Be diligent
to enter in to the promises of God. So we need to expect. Thank you. We need to expect victory, not defeat. We need to expect health, not sickness. Do you understand? The enemy can establish strongholds in our minds, all right, of defeat. Of always believing that we're going to be sick. Sometimes what you believe will determine what you receive. Expect answered prayer. You know, God never answers my prayer. Well, that's probably why, because of your unbelief. You just said it. You're not expecting God to answer your prayer. How about this? Expect blessings, not curses. Oh, I'm under a curse. No, I'm under the blessing of God. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. If you believe that way, well, you're given an opportunity for the enemy to deceive you. Expect to live a godly life. Not in constant failure. You're not a failure. You're an overcomer. The Lord is with you. The Lord's grace is sufficient for you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You just need to work hard, amen, at drawing near to God. Be diligent in prayer. Be consistent, amen. Walk with the Lord. Talk to the Lord throughout your day. Call upon Him constantly, amen. You get in your car, pray. You get up in the morning, pray, amen. Before you eat, pray. Amen. Before you do anything, commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him and He'll bring it to pass. God will guide your steps if you're willing to acknowledge Him in all your ways. Never settle for less than all that God has for you. Don't allow the devil to abort God's plan for your life through unbelief. He wants to stunt your growth. He wants you to remain where you've always been. Why? Because a person who doesn't grow does not bear fruit, and fruit is no threat to hell. Fruit means an advancement of God's purposes. When we're bearing fruit, it means that we're making a difference in this world. There is provision for life and godliness, all that we have need of. And it's available to us in Christ. I finish with this, 2 Peter 1:3, one of my favorite verses, a life verse. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. What? God's dunamis, God's power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Wow. His divine power has given to us all things, amen, that we need, that pertain to life and godliness. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, today we thank You in Jesus' name, Lord, that You have opened the way for us to come with confidence today. Lord, we claim the merits of Your blood today. Thank You, Lord, for the cross. Thank You for the blood that's there on the mercy seat in heaven itself. Thank You that You've opened the way for us to come with confidence before You today, Father. And thank You, Father, that You want to give us what we have need of. You want to give good gifts to Your children. You want to give the Holy Spirit to us because we are Your sons and Your daughters. Father, thank You, hallelujah, for the blood that covers us and qualifies us for Your presence. Now, Lord, we come to You in faith today, believing
that what we ask for, we receive. Believe in your heart when you pray that you receive it. Come as a child, simply in faith, and thank the Father. Thank Him, Father. Thank you, Father, for taking care of us. Thank you for providing. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for helping us every day, Lord. Thank you for your strength, for your grace, your sufficient grace for us, Lord. Thank you that you are always there. You're faithful. You're true. You never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And we thank you so much for your goodness today, Lord. Thank you for the body of Christ. Father, I pray impartation of your grace, of your strength to each one of us, Lord. I pray that you'd bring us to full flame in Jesus' name. And you're here today and you haven't really fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make that decision. And you'll never be the same. God wants to give you a new heart. He wants to save you. He wants to make you His own. And God wants to reveal to you His plan, His superior plan for your life. If you're willing to come, if you're willing to give your life to Jesus, if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, and you're willing to repent of that sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You've been away from the Lord. You've been lukewarm. You've been backslidden. God is calling you back. He's calling you back to life. Come and return to the fountain of living waters. Come to Jesus today. Return to Jesus. Come with your whole heart today. And let Him restore you. Hallelujah. God wants you to be saved, sanctified, filled with His Holy Spirit, and living out His purposes in this world by the power of His Holy Spirit. And that is His plan. Would you say yes to Jesus today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to come. We want to pray for you. If you're here today, maybe you just need salvation. Maybe you'd want to rededicate your life. Maybe you're here today and you need healing in your body. You need somebody to pray with you. We want to encourage you to come and as we dismiss to the altar here. And we're here to pray with you. If you have any questions, please come. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you bless and keep each one of us. Cause your face to shine upon each one of us. Be gracious unto us, Lord. Lift up the light of your countenance upon each one. And give us your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.